Well, hi, my name is Amanda, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from addiction, fear, and control. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this story that you have written in my life and for this story of redemption. I thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. Please calm my heart and move me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Before coming to recovery, my life was marked by guilt and shame from my past, trying to manage and avoid pain, and looking to myself instead of Christ to fix my circumstances. I was a member of the AAA Club, All About Amanda. I had no clue of how sick I was until I had reached my bottom and couldn't pull myself out. I needed someone bigger than me to rescue me from my despair. Let me give you a picture of my journey that ultimately led me to experiencing freedom in Christ. I grew up in a loving family with a younger sister and a mom and dad that loved each other. We began attending a small church where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior by believing that he died on the cross as payment for my sins so that I would not be eternally separated from God. I would follow Christ up until tragedy hit our family. Right after my 15th birthday, my dad passed away from a massive heart attack. Life as I knew it would be forever changed. The pain of losing him was so great that we stopped attending church as it was too hard to go without him. I didn't understand why God would allow this to happen, and my trust in God was broken. This created a pattern that continues to surface of running from and avoiding pain. In high school, I began experimenting with drugs and alcohol, promiscuity with guys, and shopping as a way to alleviate pain and also to have fun. Growing up, my parents had told me that I needed to be very careful with alcohol because addiction runs in our family. However, being a teenager who knows everything, I quickly dismissed that advice as, that doesn't apply to me. I surrounded myself with friends who were doing the same thing as a way to justify that I wasn't alone and my behavior was normal. However, as my drug and alcohol use continued, my addiction also grew. I began using cocaine as much as I could. I always thought that I was invincible and nothing could take me down. My mom caught me with drugs several times in high school. At first, I convinced her they weren't mine, but after the second time, I confessed and said that I could stop and didn't need rehab. For a year or so, I did quit using cocaine, but continued to drink, always with the mission of getting drunk. Before I knew it, cocaine and other drugs had slowly re-entered my life, and I was back where I had started. Now into my second year of college, and 20 years old, I was met with another devastating blow. I was pregnant. The father told me to get rid of it and that there was no way we could take care of a baby. My heart and mind raced with fear, anger, and anxiety at the thought of telling my family and friends what was happening. I couldn't handle the disappointment that they would think and feel towards me for getting pregnant from an ex-boyfriend, and my own selfishness of knowing I would be pregnant during my 21st birthday and unable to drink. I felt trapped because I always knew abortion was wrong, but didn't see how I could keep the baby. I can remember thinking over and over, is this really happening? Why me? And I would cry and cry. I finally came to the decision to have the abortion. I took my child's life. The guilt and shame from this selfish decision pushed my want for alcohol and drugs into a need for a deeper escape to numb and forget about the past. My drug use moved from cocaine to meth, and I began using every day. This was the darkest time in my life. The wreckage of sin and choices I was making was destroying me. I lost my apartment and friends, damaged the relationships with my family, and I was okay with it. Lies became my reality. I used manipulation, deceit, anything to try and manage my way of living. I hid as much of my destruction from my family that I could. I thought if I could make everything look great on the outside, then nobody would know what was really going on the inside. It was exhausting trying to maintain this double life. I remember thinking, this is how my life was going to be as long as I live, and I was okay with it. Then I was arrested for a DWI and felony drug charge for possession of meth. My best manipulation would not work here. I tried the famous, the drugs aren't mine, and it didn't work. My lawyer had told me that my best option was to enter into a court program called Divert, that when completed, the charges would be dismissed. The program was 12 to 18 months long, and you would be randomly drug and alcohol tested, meet weekly with a probation officer, attend court on Tuesday nights, plus make 5 AA meetings a week. I knew drugs were a problem and needed to go. After all, they are illegal. But alcohol was another story. Everyone I knew drank. I really thought that I could do this on my own and that this would be like a vacation to get healthy and then have a big party at the end. I viewed my attendance at meetings in the court as a means to check the box so I could get a clean record. I had 1 foot in and 1 foot out, testing the waters of both. I relapsed in the program and got away with it, but the guilt and shame from hiding sin was eating me alive. So I did something I never done before. I confessed. I told the truth. I had been wrestling with the information I heard and read about addiction because I could relate to it. I didn't want to be an alcoholic or an addict. However, I realized that despite the things I had gone through, I was still unable to completely stop. I had finally accepted the truth of my circumstances and wanted my life to be different. I had to come face to face with the person I had been running from for so long, and I turned to God. I couldn't do it on my own, and I desperately needed his help. Isaiah 30:19 says, "You will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears you, he will answer you." I wanted back the relationship that I had with him from when I was a little girl. So I prayed. It was short and simple. "Lord, I want to know you again, but I have no idea how. Please help me." Shortly after, a friend from recovery invited me to her baptism here at Watermark. I attended and immediately wanted more and knew the only way to do that was to jump in and get involved. I joined a community group of women that met weekly who were committed to living transparently and would care for and encourage each other on towards spiritual transformation. It was the women in this group that encouraged me to attend Regeneration, and so I did. My first night, I remembered feeling so uncomfortable and began listing out reasons as to why this program wasn't for me. My pride told me that my sin was greater than others, and I couldn't relate to those people who struggled with people-pleasing, fear, and control. It would be a few months before I would return again, this time with the true desire of learning what it looks like to follow Christ and struggle well. I had to wipe away all of my preconceived notions and be open and willing to trust God and this process. I was fearful that somebody I knew would see me here and think less of me for needing help, not realizing that they would also be here. My time in open group was challenging. I hated having to introduce myself with my struggle because it was hard, and I was fearful of what others would think of me. My heart would beat out of my chest, anxiety would overwhelm me, and I would become angry at sharing. I knew I needed to, but I battled the internal struggle of my mind that would say to keep quiet and the Holy Spirit that said, "Let it out." Sometimes I would be met with peace after sharing, and other times I would shame myself for it not being said perfectly, or shame for the sin that I committed in my past. Every week I came, I had to fight the urge to quit. I thought open group was taking way too long, and I was ready to be in a closed group and to get it over with. After a few months in open group, I was about to quit again when I received the email that I had been placed in a closed group. I was excited and terrified at the same time. I was hoping that I would have a few other women in there who shared in drug and alcohol addiction so I could relate to them. However, the Lord placed me in a group of women with the struggles that I just knew I couldn't relate to, like fear and control. After all, I was there to stay sober from alcohol and drugs so that I wouldn't die. What could I possibly have in common with those people? Oh, how little did I know that truly my struggles of alcohol and drugs were actually my attempted solutions to my struggles of fear and control. I was one of those people. I was shocked as I would listen to these amazing women share about their struggles and knew the Lord was talking to me, giving me a picture of what was underneath my sin. Romans 8:1 was a scripture that I had heard over and over and believed in my head, but in my heart, I did not truly believe. It says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The Lord used this scripture in working the steps to transform my heart and mind into letting go of the sins of the past and pressing on towards recovery in Christ. By choosing to believe that Jesus Christ died for me and not just some of my sin, but all of it, I no longer had to be haunted by the guilt and shame because it was crucified and nailed to the cross. I realized that my sin was no different than anyone else's. Regardless of how ugly it sounded, it was all the same. We were all there for the same reason, and none of us arrived on a winning streak. Some of our journeys looked different, but we were all in a desperate need for Jesus. During my time in recovery, the Lord began to rebuild the relationships with family and friends that were badly damaged from the wake of my addiction. Trust was regained, and I learned what it looked like to own my sin and seek and extend forgiveness. I realized that I was never alone in my struggles, that He was always with me, even when I couldn't see Him or feel Him. This is what walking by faith and not by sight meant. My thoughts of being fatherless were no longer true. I had a heavenly Father that loved me more than I could ever imagine, who was with me the whole time. However, there was still some deeper healing God wanted to do in my heart. I still wasn't free from the bondage of guilt and shame from my abortion. He used a special group of women who had found freedom from their own abortions through a ministry called Someone Cares. I would love to tell you that after completing regeneration that I am struggle-free. The truth is, I am a sinner in need of a Savior every day, and I will continue to have struggles, but they do not consume me as they once did. In February of 2012, I was blessed with the second gift I could receive, aside from my salvation. I married my best friend and one of my heroes, Alan Hankins. It has been a joy to be his wife, pursue Christ together, and lay down our lives. I told myself I was not going to cry, and this is not working out. It has been a joy to be his wife, pursue Christ together, and lay down our lives for one another. He has taught me more of the Lord's affection for me and the way that He cares for me and leads us in our pursuit of Christ. Through marriage, the Lord continued to reveal other sins of self-protection, responding out of hurt, and a desire for comfort. I grew in how to respond to conflict as a way. I grew in how to respond to conflict as Christ would have me to, and not how my feelings would dictate. I would rather withdraw and avoid conflict versus pursuing oneness and reconciliation through it. We have been blessed with a great foundation group that is willing to challenge us and pray for us so that we may look more like Christ. God desires much more of me than just getting by and coexisting. He desires oneness in my relationship with Him and others. I pray that I would decrease and that Jesus would increase, and that I would live my life in such a way that strangers would want to know about the joy I have in following Christ. As you have listened to my story, my hope is that you would not walk away tonight thinking that I have it all together. The reality is, after enduring a miscarriage 2 months ago, that I am hurting and struggling with trusting the Lord fully because I am fearful that He will not give me my heart's desire. Walking through this loss has been extremely painful. I had to fight the anger I felt toward God and fight through lies that the enemy wanted me to believe and go back to the basics of what I know to be true of God through His word. He is the God of peace and not of chaos. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. I realized that through this process, I had an expectation that I had paid my dues on hard things that I would have to go through and that I was owed a comfortable future. The truth is that I am owed nothing, but Jesus has given me everything. James 1, 2 through 4 says, when trials come, not if they come, but when we face trials of many kinds, that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. My desire is that my faith would be louder than my fears, that I would look to Him and Him alone when trials come, and not revert into self-protection or avoiding pain, but walk through it hand in hand with Jesus. I cling to the promise that Jesus has given me, that He knows the plans for my future, and they are for my welfare and not calamity, to give me hope. I don't know what my future holds, but my desire is to live every day surrendered to Him and His will for me and lay down my plans. Today I am 6.5 years sober, and I have the blessing and privilege of getting to facilitate a group of women in Open Group. It is a joy to serve in this ministry that I had a love-hate relationship with because of the freedom I have now experienced. Nobody can relate to that. because of the freedom I have now experienced from sin that held me captive for so long. My life verse is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and a release from darkness for the prisoners. That is my prayer for everyone here. I pray that you would continue to come and fight the urges to quit. For those who are new, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. For those who are in Open Group and have been coming for a while, please keep coming back and hang in there. The Lord has great plans for you. Take this time to get comfortable with sharing your sin struggles. You will most likely have some of the same people in your close group. For those who are in close group, take this time to be rigorously honest with yourself and with others. Don't be afraid to let others in. Take a step of faith to trust God and others in your group. No matter where you are at in the recovery process, recovery doesn't start when you get in a group. It starts today. If you have questions about who Jesus is, please ask someone. My prayer is that everyone here would come to know about this mighty God whom I serve. Thank you so much for letting me share.